Candace Taylor is an award-winning photographer, writer, and visual artist. Her new book is called Counter Culture, The American Coffee Shop Waitress. Taylor traveled over 26,000 miles throughout the U.S. to interview more than 70 career waitresses who work at coffee shops and diners. She told Anne Strangechamps what she learned.
I assumed that these women would be tired and bitter and just have stories of hostile customers over the years. And really, I was so surprised. After my first round of interviews, about 30 waitresses, practically all of them, about 98% of them, said, "I love what I do. I wouldn't do anything else given the opportunity." And I just couldn't believe it. I thought it was a fluke. After many years later of researching this subculture, I probably interviewed about 78 waitresses for the book. I listened to their stories and realized that based on their experience and the fact that they were born in a different place and time, I do believe it's generational. They have a different relationship to work. And they ended up saying, you know, "I love what I do. I wouldn't do anything else." Some waitresses said, "This is what I was put on earth to do, was to serve." And I thought that story needed to be told.
Do you think that some waitresses really do have a particular skill set that just does make them exceptional waitresses? I mean, maybe these women are right, mm-hmm. who say, you know, "This is my vocation. I was born to do this."
Mm-hmm. Waitressing is not for everyone. And that's the biggest misconception, I think. And that's why it gets such a bad rap. There's this assumption that anybody can wait tables. And it's really not true. You have to be very organized, extremely organized. You have to always be thinking ahead. You have to have incredible personable skills. You really have to be able to read people and anticipate what they want or need, if they want to be left alone or if they want extra attention. There's kind of an innate sensibility that you have to be a good waitress. And if you're not a good waitress, the job is really painful. It can be very difficult and demanding and overwhelming.
Hmm. Well, so for example, one of the waitresses you met is named Rachel Lelchuk. Can you tell us something about Rachel?
Rachel's one of my favorite waitresses, and I don't play favorites, but there is a special place in my heart for Rachel Lelchuk. She's just fantastic. She worked at Louis' restaurant for over 55 years. She never took a formal vacation. She said she had to take time off when the restaurant had a fire and they were closed, and that was really the only time she was off. She's just a really special, sweet woman. People meet her once and just never forget her.
I make art of it. I just don't wait on people to wait. I want them to feel pleasantly, make sure everything is hot, pick up your orders right away, and coffee should be nice and hot and tasty, you know, things like that. I didn't punch cards. I was old-fashioned. I took it seriously, you know what I mean? To me, it didn't matter. Like I say, for me, it was a holiday to come to work because I look forward.
Another one of the more memorable waitresses you met is Ronnie Bello.
Oh, yeah. Ronnie.
Can you tell us about her?
Ronnie's very special as well. They're also special, but Ronnie, she's in Worcester, the Boulevard Diner. She just had this warmth to her as well, and just, you know, really asking those questions. At that point, it was early on in the process of me interviewing waitresses when I met Ronnie, and I really started to reevaluate my perspective on what's important in life and what success means. I have her quoted in the book basically just saying, these younger servers come in and they don't really want to work that hard. They want to get tipped well. And then, you know, she said, you've got the customers who come in and they're complaining. And she's like, you know, what are your rewards? Life is short. You know, enjoy your life. Do something that you love.
Well, I don't think the kids today, I don't think they have the stuff that the older girls had. And I think things are handed to them too easy. And I think they don't really know what work is. And if I'm going to come to work and be miserable, I'm not going to come to work. That's what these kids do. They don't want to be here. I tell them, if you don't want to be here, find something you like. I don't care if you drive a taxi cab. I don't care if you clean a sewer. I don't care what you do. But you be happy at what you do. And I'm not ashamed. I can walk with judges and lawyers, and I can fit with anyone because I know what I do, and I'm no phony. This is me. I'm a good waitress. I love people, and that's my attitude. And if you don't like me for that, that's your problem. I'm not a snob. I've had customers come in here bitching over nothing, and I look at them and I say, you should come with me where I just left and see little children that are burnt and have no arms and have no fingers, and one girl has no eyes and a face, and she's smiling every day, and you come in here and you have everything and you're bitching. What are your rewards? Spend a little time with someone. Do a little something. You won't be so bitchy. And you find it's the ones with the most that complain the most.
You know, the other interesting thing about these waitresses is, you know, many of them, because they've chosen waitressing as a career life path, they could have moved up from the diners and coffee shops, you know, to working in more upscale restaurants. But many of them you talked with said they prefer working in diners. Do you have a sense of why?
Yes. It's very liberating in the service world to be able to just be yourself. And that's what these women were able to do being diner waitresses. If they worked in a more upscale, finer dining restaurant, they would have to be more like a quote-unquote servant. And a lot of them, even the term waitress, you know, I said, do you prefer the term waitress or server? Because it's more politically correct to use server now. And waitress is kind of an old-fashioned term, but, you know, they all said, I'd rather be called a waitress, because to them, server was too close to the word servant. Juanita in Lexington, Kentucky, you know, she said, I just want to holler at my customers. You know, I want to yell at them when they come through the door, and I want to laugh and joke, and they just have a good time at work. And if they were in a fancier place, they wouldn't be able to do that. The other thing is, working in a fancy restaurant, people assume, because the plates are more expensive, that they would assume that waitresses would make more money, as I did when I was working in a sushi restaurant. But I learned that, you know, these women, because they are so good at what they do, they have volume. They move so many people in and out of the restaurant in a day during their shift. It's incredible. And the fact that they have a huge number, usually 80 to 90% of their customers are regulars. Mm-hmm.
What were the most surprising things that you learned yourself while you were working on this book?
Well, one of the things that I mentioned a little earlier, I had to really reevaluate the terms of what success meant to me. And I really had to think that, you know, life is what you make it. That's what these women taught me. And that, you know, fulfillment isn't found in a 401k or a 5,000 square foot house. Not that I was materialistic before, but it just really kind of made it okay for me to not have to go out and get a regular job so I would look like, quote unquote, that I was successful. And it really gave me the time, and it allowed me to take the risk, to take the years it needed to take for me to write this book and get it out there.
Candace Taylor is the author of Counterculture, The American Coffee Shop Waitress,